Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Good morning, Lindsay, since you're very excited.
Good morning.
Ryan Burrow is sitting in the news nest this morning. Wait 1 second. We just got to make sure that, you know, it's always, I don't know what happened here. I had all these plans here. We don't know. We're always surprised when we go to the sports desk. Let's see who's sitting at the anchor desk for sports today. That is, we say good morning to. This is when Jack, you would say your name.
Oh, Jack Heinrich. There, sorry. This is new. I was only here. Last time I was here, we were talking about the wheel. I didn't know I was supposed
right.
to.
Well, you got to keep up,
in.
Jack.
We were still deciding until you said that, actually.
That's the problem is that, you know, we just never know who's sitting in the desk. And so I wanted to, you know, have some fun with it.
Everyone's ready to go, by the way. There's a nice bullpen here. Carm's over like there it. Stretching. They just didn't know who was going to get the call. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful Andy called my name.
There you go. Right. You're very grateful. Ryan, I think the last time you and I worked together on a Saturday, I was hashing out my Saturday story. And you said something to me that is stuck in my craw ever since. You're like, well, how are you going to know if they're true or not? Remember that?
Yeah.
Right. So I've been very, I've been doing all my, you know, something that most news organizations don't do anymore, fact checking. There was a time in my career when I was doing a bunch of interviews for different publications. This is probably 25 years ago. I would get interviewed by, you know, Martha Stewart Living or Real Simple Magazine or, you know, back when there were just a ton of those publications. And, you know, you would talk to the reporter about whatever, you know, and it was, you know, what's the best way to keep your grass growing? You know, it's not like cutting edge stuff. No pun intended. And then 2 weeks later, I would get a call from a fact checker. And they would basically say, so you say use this kind of fertilizer. Uh-huh. And you say use this kind of mower. Uh-huh. Okay. You know, and then that would be, it's been 20 years since I've gotten a call from a fact checker now.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
They could be writing anything.
So does that mean?
And they do.
Does that mean they're not checking
they
anymore?
Do.
Or does that mean that you're just nailing it every time?
No, I don't think they're fact-checking. And then the other kind of thing that sort of concerns me is that a lot of these publications... So, for instance, recently I did a you know, interview on the best kind of lawnmower to buy or something like that, right? Then within the body of the article are links to purchase the lawnmower at different sites. And so, you know, it's just kind of blurring the line between news and sales and, you know, as someone that owns an Ace Hardware store, it'll be the mower that I spoke of in the body of the article with a link to buy it on Amazon or a link to buy it at Home Depot as opposed to Ace.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Right? So it just kind of like, huh, well, I didn't know you were going to do that. And, but that's kind of how things are changing.
Yeah, for real. Everything's about the money.
I have a really good story today at 9 o'clock. It has to do with the Blackhawks.
Ooh.
And I was going to tease this, but, you know, you can send me a Saturday story at story@wgnradio.com. And, this was sent via that email address from the legendary Doc Emrick.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Uh-huh.
Fan That's of the cool. show. Absolutely.
It's really a cool story. It has to do with the Blackhawks, but it has to do with something else. And I think you're going to find it really interesting. That'll be coming up after 9 o'clock. And I'm checking the facts. I think we're good, Ryan. Well, nice to have you all here with us this morning. We're here until 10 o'clock. We're going to talk a little bit later on this morning about the best trees to plant in our area from an expert that's at the Morton Arboretum. We have a Noodaloo 2 if you're going to be doing any painting, but you have a busy schedule. and you need to run the kids to camp, or you need to run to lunch or do something, but you still want to keep painting, this is going to make your life a lot easier. But we want to take your phone calls this morning at 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. Let's go to the Mega Pros phone lines. One mega call does it all. This is Barbara in Island Lake. Good morning, Barbara.
Yes, I have a problem. My insurance company is wanting me to cut down trees within 2 feet of my house, and I'm looking for a legitimate good tree service to take all these branches down and everything that they're claiming is in the way of my house.
Okay. You know, this is not an inexpensive proposition, so you know.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for somebody that's good at this.
Sure. So there's a couple really good companies in the Chicagoland area. Do you have a pen or a pencil handy?
Yeah.
All right. One is called Bartlett Tree Service.
Okay.
And the other is called the Davy Tree Company.
Okay.
And these are both legitimate, insured, long-standing companies that have been in the tree removal and tree trimming and tree health business for a very long time. And either one of those would do a very good job for you, but you can get a couple of quotes. And, you know, there's a lot of smaller independent companies out there too, but those are two of the biggest.
Do you have telephone numbers?
I don't, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll ask Lindsay to find those calls for you, or those numbers for you, okay?
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you.
You hold on one quick second, and we'll get that to you in just a minute. It's 6:18 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Let's go to the phone line here. This is Martha calling in from Darien. Hi, Martha. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. Thank you. I'm calling because I have a problem with squirrels. And if I'm at the window, I can see them going under the eave and into the gutter. And they scratch and scratch. And when I'm in the room next to the deck, it sounds like if they keep scratching, they might get into the wall.
Mm.
And I don't want that.
No.
I want to know what to do to get rid of them.
Well, Martha, you're probably going to need some professional help.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to...
Someone you can recommend.
Yeah. I think who you're going to want to call, and Lindsay, I'm going to ask you to grab this phone number for me for Rose Pest Control.
Rose Pest Control.
Correct. And so they're a long-time pest control company, and and they've been around a long time, and they're a sponsor here as well at WGN Radio, so they'll do a very nice job for you. Do you have a pen or a pencil ready?
Yes.
773-384-3000.
Okay. Do you know, do they take squirrels away, or do you know how they go about it?
I do not. I don't, okay. I don't know what they're, I mean, they're not going to, certainly not going to leave the squirrels there, but what they do with the squirrels, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Okay. All right. And you have no idea how costly they are, do you?
I don't. It really depends on, you know, your situation. You know, if it's just one hole, if they have access to it, you know, it can be relatively affordable. Here's the thing that I know about Rose Pest Control. I was a customer of theirs long before they were on WGN Radio, probably even before I was. And
okay.
And so they will charge you a fair price, and they will do a good job.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And thank you very much. Oh, before I let you go, someone told me that I should close up the weep holes in the side of the house because he said the weep hole was large enough for a little mouse to get in. And I always thought the weep holes had to stay open.
You have a brick home?
Yes.
Yeah. So the weep holes are a critical aspect of you know, allowing the wall behind the brick to dry.
That's what I thought.
Now, if they're large, you know, if they're larger than a dime, which is typically a mouse can get in a hole the size of a dime, then there is a trick where you can take a piece of cotton rope and you thin enough to fit in that gap, and you place the cotton rope until it touches the back wall, and then you tie a knot in the end of it, and it hangs out of the wall, I don't know, an inch or two, and then you fill the gap with mortar. And so the idea is that if water gets behind the wall, the cotton rope absorbs it, and then it wicks out and takes it away from the wall, and then a mouse can't get into that hole because you've closed it up.
Oh, okay. A cotton rope. And I get that where at any
hardware store
or Home Depot.
Correct.
Or what.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And tie a knot at the end.
You slide it into the slip, into the slit where the hole is. You make sure it touches the back wall. A little trick is to take a wire or a screwdriver, so you stick it in there, and when you feel the wall, you hold your fingers on the screwdriver, and you know how deep the rope needs to be. See what I mean?
Okay. Okay. And then after I do that, I tie the knot.
Well, you can tie the knot before that.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, then. Well, thank you very much for all of the information.
Have a lovely day. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. I hadn't thought about that rope trick in a long time. That's bringing me back. That was an old mason trick from way, way back. But, yes?
No,
you're very jumpy today.
I know.
Wow. What, did you get a good night's sleep? What's going on?
I feel
like
you're pausing a lot. You're like, it sounds like you're waiting for a response from me. And then I think, do you want something? And so keep going.
I'm just thinking. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not thinking as quickly as I don't know. I got
I'm firing this morning.
Right. You are firing on all cylinders. That's for sure. Well, okay, good. Well, that brought me back to an old mason's trick, which does work. And if you do have weep holes bigger than a dime, it's funny. I was on with Lisa Dent. We were talking about mouse and rat removal. I know it's a story that you've been thinking about a lot, Lindsay, is this hantavirus thing. And I've said for years about the diseases that mice and rats carry. And everybody's like, oh, don't kill the mice. Don't kill the rats. And you need to get rid of that problem. And whether you use poisons or baits, whatever it might be, what's the word I'm looking for? The alternative, if they do carry a virus like that, is just bad news. We don't want that for sure. So we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up a little bit later on. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. And welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. Evidently, taking long dramatic pauses this morning where Lindsay, feels like she's got to jump in real quick. So, I was thinking, there's another long pause.
Yes.
I got a text message, speaking of MegaPros earlier, the MegaPros phone lines. So I have this gentleman that I used to work with at Ace. He was a longtime district manager for Ace. Ironically, I met him years and years ago in Arizona, you know, where you used to live. Went to school and his sister lives. And then he moved back to the Chicagoland area. He's got the best name ever, especially for somebody in the hardware business. His name is Rusty Palm. Isn't that a great
name?
Like
a, Yeah, that sounds like a drink.
It's great.
Rusty
He's
Palm.
Just a lovely man. He unsolicited sends me a text message last night. He said, hey, I just want to let you know, the Mega Pros just completed our new master bath renovation, and we're so happy. And he sent a couple pictures of his bathroom and how great the project was from the folks at Mega Pros. But what's funny about the picture is that he sent a picture of kind of like before and after, and then two of the people that worked, you know, on the crew, and the guys, I think the guy, the lead, I think he told me was named Jacob. And there's a picture of Jacob and another guy, like, standing next to each other in front of the bathroom. And because I have our granddaughter this weekend, I've been reading the Big Dog, Little Dog book. Do you know that? Remember that book?
I don't know.
I think it's P.D. Eastman. It's a Dr. Seuss book, but it's P.D. Okay. Eastman. And it's like, Ted is big, Fred is small. And then there's a giant dog, and then there's a little dog. And I'm assuming, I shouldn't assume, but if Jacob is the tall one, he's Ted, the tall dog, and then whoever the other gentleman is the small dog. And it's just kind of funny, the two of them. So now I just have Big Dog, Little Dog. You don't remember that book?
I don't.
Where Ted, you know, they stayed in a hotel, and Ted slept in a small bed, and Fred slept in a big bed or something like that, something. And they were uncomfortable, and then a little bird tells them, you should switch beds. You know, they're not the smartest dogs. But
no.
It's a children's book. So, anyway.
Do you read, I know, Brown Bear, Brown Bear, Brown Bear. Oh, yeah. What do you see? I see a red bird looking at me.
Oh, yeah, I got that one memorized. Because Mia she turns the pages a little too quick, you know, so
yeah.
I got to know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, no, white dog, what do you see? So, that's good. The kids' books are the best.
I know, they're so cute.
They're just the best. And, yeah, it's good. But we have our granddaughter this weekend because both Quinn and Amy are out of town. And so Quinn came back late last night, and now he's 32 years old. And he came home, came to our place, and I woke up and I go out there, and he's got a big bowl of pretzels and a glass of milk, which is something that as a young child, he loved pretzels and milk. So then I was thinking, what is something that you loved as a kid, like a snack or food that you just always had, but that you still like it? You don't have to answer right this second, but think about that. Like, is there something as a kid you're like, oh, my God. I mean, this is such a Quinn thing, pretzels and milk. You know, it's like so, who does that? Like, that combination doesn't sound delicious to me.
No, it really wouldn't strike you as
a good
like
combo.
Milk and cookies.
Right,
yeah.
It's not like chicken and waffles when you're pregnant.
Like, my dad always says orange juice and pizza. Isn't that interesting?
Like, that's, he'll order a pizza and have a glass of orange juice.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think that's a crazy combo, but...
Well, I wonder if it's kind of like if you put pineapple on a pizza.
I love a pineapple pizza.
Well, there's the citrus, right? With that, right?
Yeah.
What are you telling me? Two packs... Oh, do I have that information?
You do. It is on your rundown.
So today...
And it's right there.
Today, a couple things. First of all, it's our son Massimo's birthday.
Happy birthday!
Two Saturdays in a row? No, was it Mallory's birthday last, or was it...
Yeah.
Two Saturdays. Yeah. Mallory's birthday was last Saturday. Massey's birthday is today. 25 years old, which is crazy. Our youngest son, who is graduating with his graduate degree in acting. We're going to go to New York to see his graduation next week. And
was student of the year.
And was...
Didn't he win, like, an amazing award?
And we weren't there for that, but don't rub that in. But it's like
Sorry.
They like spread all this stuff out for like a week at a time. And, you know, when all this was coming, like, well, do you want us to come for that? No, just come for the graduation. Oh, you know, yeah, it's a nice event. So he got like graduate student of the year.
So cool.
Right. And so that was last night. So congratulations, Mossy. Happy birthday, Mossy. I'm very excited for him. And, but so, you know, Lou's going to be on the lake. Did you know this? Did we talk about this?
I did.
that we're taking the show on the road to Pier 290 in Lake Geneva, June 6th from 6 to 10 a.m. I'll be there. Lindsay will be there. A bunch of you hopefully will be there. The tickets go on sale. Now this doesn't, not on sale, but they're available today, starting today, right? You just need to register. So they don't cost anything, right? And you just need to register because we need to know who's coming. And if you've not been to Pier 290, it's in Williams Bay on Lake Geneva, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's a really cool spot. This is where when every year we've gone, many, many years, gone with Lindsay and her kids to the Santa Cruz, which leaves from Pier 290, and it's so fun. It's such a slice of Americana. It's even more fun during the summer months, and this should be a really fun event. So if you go to WGNradio.com/events, you can learn more about that as well. But I also have two packs available. I mean, it's kind of funny because they're free. But
I know, but then they don't have to go through the whole sign-up process online.
Each pack includes two tickets, reserve seating, plus a custom goodie bag featuring favorites from businesses around Lake Geneva. How do you want me to do that?
What do you mean?
Seventh caller?
Yeah.
All right. Seventh caller. If you're the seventh caller, I have one pack right now. I'll do another one later on this morning. 857-557-4568. Be the seventh caller and say, I want to go to Lou on the Lake.
No? But check your calendar. June 6th.
June 6th. Yeah. Please come. We would like you to come. It should be a lot of fun. And so I'm looking forward to that as well. That'll be a really fun thing. So please join us. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is Linda in Chicago. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. How may I help you?
Thanks for taking... Oh, boy, and I hope you can. That wrought iron pipe that goes down in my... that's in the basement that goes down through the floor, it has a... holding it about the size of a walnut. My son stays in the basement, and he says it emits an odor. How can I correct it or get some? Who do I get to correct it?
It's a pipe that goes in the ground. Is it a pipe that's over a drain? Is it a stand pipe?
No, no. It's the major.
It's your cast iron main line that goes into your sewer.
Yes, yes.
And that has a hole in it.
Yes, I don't know if somebody accidentally knocked it out, a workman or what. But Linda,
is it a hole that's like a broken hole, or is it a hole where you need a cap?
It needs to be covered. There's nothing there. I don't know if it came out and we swept it up not knowing that's what it was.
I see.
But I'm scared of it. And my son said it emits the odor.
Yeah.
I'm not down there, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I just needed to know who could help me
if
with
it's
that.
If it's a sewer line, then this is a plumbing issue that you need a plumber to come and assess what's going on and make sure that it, you know, in fact, doesn't go anywhere. And then they can go ahead and cap it for you. You know, and put some sort of, you know, legitimate cap as opposed to just taping over it or something like that. So do you happen to have a plumber that you work with in the area or no?
I do, and I got it off of somebody from your program, I believe.
Okay.
That, but I can't think of it right offhand, but I do have it in my notebook, and that's what I'll do.
Right.
Could you please answer one more question
for
me or attempt to?
Sure.
This isn't the first time, but I have a concrete front porch, and it's a nice size, but it has a drainage hole that has been... a golf ball has been in it for over 20 years, and water puddles there, and it goes in my basement, and it had the ceiling in my cold space storage room.
Mm-hmm.
I I just need to know if there's someone who can come and get that golf ball out or do something with it. They can send a man to the moon, but I'm having great difficulty getting this unplugged, seriously. And it's a nice porch, but water, you know.
Yeah. Right. Well, that same plumber that's going to come and fix this issue in the basement should be able to get that golf ball out of that drain.
Just for the record, could you recommend someone?
Where do you live?
I live in Chicago, just 4 blocks east of Austin Avenue, which is Oak Park.
Oak Park, okay. I don't know that they come that far, but you could try Center Guard Plumbing. I don't know that they come that far, but you could try them. If not, the other one would be plumbers911.com.
Okay. Do you have Center Guard's number?
Lindsay, could you grab me Center Guard's number, please? She's got it on her list. She's going to put it on. Just give me one second. So plumbers911.com is the website for your union plumbers, and they do a really nice job. And for Center Guard, it's 847.
Yes.
406.
Yes.
8883.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderfully blessed day.
Thank you. You as well. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. We are, I got all this new information now. We're live from the PermaSeal Concrete Lifting Studios, keeping patios, sidewalks, and pool decks safe this summer. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Anything we can help you with this morning. We're here until 10 o'clock. We've got a fun new word of the day coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. I've got a really good story that concerns the Chicago Blackhawks that was actually sent to us by the legendary broadcaster Doc Emmerich, which I so appreciate his participation. If you'd like to send a story that you think would be interesting to our audience, you can always send it to story@wgnradio.com. And so we'll be sharing that with you after 9 o'clock this morning as well. And then a little bit later on too, we're going to talk with an expert from the Morton Arboretum about planting trees and how beneficial that is to our environment, and maybe some trees you should consider that could go in your yard. And I think location and where you live obviously matters a lot. And the perfect tree is really the tree that you want. But, you know, sometimes there are some choices you can make that can set you up for success. So we're going to learn a little bit more about that coming up later on this morning. 857-557-4LOU. We got a lot of rain last night, thundered like crazy by us, and it was a complete downpour. And it's not a bad idea, if you haven't done this already, to get down to that basement, double check everything, make sure you're good. And if you haven't cleaned out gutters in the spring, I was doing some planting of some flower boxes, and I noticed that, you know, there were a couple hefty chunks of stuff in our gutters that needed to have a little bit of an attention. So whether you do it yourself or you hire somebody, it's not a bad idea to get up there just to double check. You know, now that everything's kind of leafing out and all that debris from early spring and the tail end of winter is kind of behind us, it's a good idea to give that a good shot. Now, if you don't want to get up on a ladder, you know, I've got this trick where you take your leaf blower, if you own one, and go to the leader on the downspout and just stick that leaf blower in and pull the trigger. Maybe wear a hat because you're going to get stuff on top of yourself. But that can help to clear the downspout, at least right there, and loosen things up and get stuff flowing. And the nice thing about that trick is that it keeps you off of a ladder, which is, you know, for some, not something that a lot of people want to do. So try that leaf blower trick. It works pretty well. And finally, you can start planting your garden. I did that yesterday. I've been waiting for some warmer weather. It doesn't quite seem to be here just yet, but my gosh, we're already at May 16th. And I think that we should be pretty good at this point to be beyond the frost. I pray. I'm not giving you any guarantees, but, you know, I think you're okay to start planting your vegetables for sure and flowers and all that good stuff. It's a lot of fun.
80s the next 3 days.
Thank you. That's what I need.
There
right?
you go. But
then it'll be 40 day four. I want that consistent coming up, Ryan. If you can do anything, I'd appreciate that. Yes.
How's Memorial Day weekend looking?
Memorial Day weekend?
I don't quite have that forecast yet.
Right.
Ugh.
What it's good is he? It's next. Right. Come on, Ryan. Aren't you the news director? Don't you have to pull some strings?
I'll get Tim Joyce on it. Yeah.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is John in Mokena. Good morning, John.
Hi, Lou. I have a patio that has bluestone in the backyard. I've been in the house about 15 years. It used to be, I think, filled with like a white, I don't know, limestone or something in between. It's kind of washed away. I've let, you know, kind of moss grow in between. I've kind of power washed away. I'm wondering, what should I do to fill it back in? What do I use?
Yeah. Hold on one second, because I lost track of time here. I'm going to answer your question real quick.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Quick, we've got Ryan Burrow sitting in this morning and Jack Heinrich doing sports. And gentlemen, we have a word of the day for you to use in one of your newscasts and sportscasts. Are we ready?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
It is an adjective, and the definition is of no value or importance. Of no value or importance. The word is nugatory.
Nugatory.
Nugatory. N-U-G-A-T-O-R-Y. N-U-G-A-T-O-R-Y. One of the things that I love the most about my producer, Lindsay Smithwick, is she's very self-effacing. She's the first one to point the finger right at herself. Her excuses for not going to the gym yesterday were nugatory. What a noog.
I made that up. I made that last part up. It's like the slang.
Noog.
Were you battling the little person on your shoulder? Like,
yes.
I need to go to the gym. You don't need to go to the gym.
You don't really need. I mean, you have so much work to do. Your boss is going to be, you know, he's really riding you. Don't be a noog.
Don't be a noog. You invented that. Nugatory. Her excuses for not going to the gym yesterday were nugatory. You should get a Peloton.
Have you heard that word before?
You should get a Peloton.
Okay, well.
Because then you can just be, then when nice. You do the excuse.
I would have no excuses.
Well, and you still do. Because it's right there in your bedroom mm-hmm. or wherever you keep your, you know, wherever people keep them.
You have one, right? You have the bike or the, I think I would do the treadmill one.
Oh.
The bike one seems more bike. Fun.
I do the bike I do enjoy it. And I will tell you, though, the, you know, there's a lot of camera work that is a little suggestive.
Oh, yeah. What?
Nothing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Jack,
I've seen
right?
I've seen the clips, yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? If mm-hmm. there's a guy, like there's this British guy that I like that I take his classes a lot, and he's great. I can't think of it. I can never think of their names. But when, if you take a class and it's a woman, and you know, they're all ridiculously attractive, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
And the camera, you know, there's mirrors behind them, and they don't do that with the guys.
Nope.
Not you know as pretty.
Well, no. For, I mean,
well, yeah.
It's not, but, you know, it's like. But then there's this one woman who I really like, and I can't think of her name, but she's like my age. She was like one of the first Peloton people. I love
How
taking
many
her class.
Instructors do you think there are?
Oh, my gosh.
So
there's a lot.
You know,
like
Mary,
hundreds or like 20?
Go ahead.
Mary Vandeveld, her relative is Christian Vandeveld, who is a professional cyclist, and he's one of the trainers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You should do that. Yeah, you should go check out, and see if you can keep up with a professional cyclist.
No, I definitely can't keep up. I mean, that's the thing, too, is that, you know, I do have to, you know, they're like, okay, like, you know, you do these intervals and you go faster, you know, and it's a really good workout. There's no question. But like when they get to like 100 cadence, I am a 62-year-old man and it's a lot to go 100. I mean, I can do it, but I can't do it as long as they want you to. And so
you don't think you can keep up with an Olympic cyclist, former Olympic cyclist?
No way.
No.
I mean, any one of these people are just amazing, you know, and but I do like it, and it is convenient, and it avoids the nugatory stress in my life.
And the nugatory excuses, yes.
Right, exactly. Right. All right, nugatory. I like that word. Noog. What a noog.
What a noog.
Right?
Gentlemen, you get bonus points if you can use, also use what a noog.
I love
That's a good word. That's a good word. All right. The winners of our tickets coming to Lou on the Lake is Cindy and Paul. Congratulations. Do we have a couple more to give away, right? Later on?
Yeah.
Right? But if you'd like to join us, go to WGN Radio. I think it's WGNradio.com/events and register. The tickets are free. It's going to be a lot of fun.
But space is limited.
Space is limited.
Check
right.
your calendar. Right. June 6th, 6 right. to 10,
I would Pier really 290. Like to, I would really like to do a broadcast on the boat. Like, could we? That would be cool. You know, we could do that with the cellular technology.
Sure.
Like, you know, out of the boat.
Just offshore. Sure.
Just right around Williams Bay.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. Be on the boat, right? Tell bad dad jokes, right? That'd be good.
You've got them.
I got them. I do. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. What else do I need to tell you about? Coming up a little bit later on, we will be talking with an expert from the Morton Arboretum about planting trees and how beneficial that can be to your world and our world and how it can make your landscape look so great. But I want to hear from you this morning. Give us a call, 857-557-4568. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Vicki, who's in Cary. Good morning, Vicki.
Yes, good morning, Lou. My house was built in 1962 using Masonite siding.
Sure.
And I've had it repainted over the many years that I've lived here, and it looks pretty good, but I've been wondering if I should get it sided with vinyl or hardy fiber cement siding. I'm in my upper 70s, getting close to 80, so I don't know if it is a worthwhile investment at my age.
Well, God bless you for being in your late 70s, getting up to 80. That's awesome. You're feeling good?
Yes, uh-huh.
Good. Now, let me ask you this. If you have a crystal ball, how long do you want to stay in that house? Forever?
Forever, yes.
All right. And if you take a look at where you live in Cary and you look at your home and the homes around it, what's happening? Do they tear the homes down? Do they put big additions on the homes? What do they do?
Well, in the area that I live in, the subdivision, most of the houses are still from the 60s and early 70s.
Okay.
And almost all of them have this siding on them, so they don't have to repaint. And so I was just wondering if I should be doing the same thing.
Right. Well, then here's my next question. Someday when you're no longer with us, what do you want to do with that house? Do you want to leave it to somebody? Do you want them to sell it so your family can get money? I mean, it's just a question of, the reason I bring this up is this. Okay, so let's say you re-side it, okay, and you put vinyl siding on or even hardy siding. It could cost you anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 to do that. And now you won't have to paint it again. Okay, and I'm, you know, what do you normally pay to have it painted?
I paid a lot of money last time, but they did an excellent job. I think it was about $10,000.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, maybe about 7 years ago.
Right. But you said even now, 7 years later, it looks pretty good. Like, you don't look at it and say, wow, I need to repaint.
That's correct. It looks good. People compliment my house. I do keep it up nicely.
So let's just say, for the sake of, you and I are doing a little numbers game, Vicki. So let's just say that we get to, let's say you're right about the 7 years. It might be longer because, you know, we all do that, right? We're like, oh, I just did it last year. And it was like, no, Vicki, that was 5 years ago or whatever. But let's say you get to 10 years and it's time to repaint again. Okay. So that's a few years from now. Well, it's probably going to cost you $15,000 to repaint, you know, because everything costs more. But now, are we going to get another 10 years? So now we're, you said you're almost 80, so maybe now you're 82 or 84, and you paint it. Now you got another 10 years, and that's 94. And you put in $15,000. If you re-side it 3 or 4 years from now, and you spent $20,000 or $30,000, and then you're done. But at 94, you may not care what it looks like. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you have the money to invest and you want to update the house, absolutely do it. If the house looks good and you kind of like what your ultimate plan is with the home once you're gone, you know, you can decide. Will the hardy and the vinyl siding add value to the home? 100%. No question. And it'll definitely update it as well. But it's just a question of whether or not you want to spend that money or not.
Okay. Is there anything wrong with Masonite siding?
No. I mean, it's, you know, probably, I would imagine there's probably a little bit of asbestos in the siding when it was made back in the 60s, but it isn't anything that of a concern. You know, it's painted, it's encapsulated in the paint. If, as long as it's in good shape and nobody's sprinkling it on their cornflakes, you know, you're perfectly fine with that as well. I mean, if you did go down the path of re-siding it, I would highly recommend that you remove that siding first instead of having someone just re-side over the top of it, because that way, if there was any damage that you didn't know about, it would cost a little bit more for the installation, but you're better able to make a informed decision about how to proceed. Oh yeah, look, there was a issue with water here that we never knew about, and we're going to patch that and clean that up before the siding goes on.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference of vinyl siding or hardy fiber cement?
I mean, the hardy, in my opinion, is the better way to go. It mimics the look of traditional siding. It's a very durable, very beautiful looking material. Hardy is one manufacturer. There's also LP makes something called Smart Strand, which is a similar low maintenance, very durable product too. So, you know, you do have some choices there, and you do have choices in the style as well. You know, if your home's not really big, you know, the cedar shake, they have a cedar shake out of hardy that is absolutely beautiful. And it looks really, really nice, in particular on smaller homes. It's used a lot on larger homes for accents, but on a small home, it can really look so charming when it's all said and done. So, but it is remarkably more expensive than vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's certainly something to factor into the conversation about whether or not you want to do that or not.
Okay, Lou. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your information and your advice, and I do listen every week.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
857-5574-LOU, 857-557-4568. I think that question that Vicki posed is one for a lot of us, right? You obviously want to always maintain your home, and you want to do the right things to do it the right way. I mean, if I'm nothing else, you know that I've always preached about doing it the right way, not cutting corners, and because it just comes back to bite you in the you-know-what. But you do have to put a pencil to paper about what your plan is, and you got to kind of look at what the best value of the property is. Like, do the numbers make sense? You know, in Vicky's case, you know, if you spent that $30,000 or $40,000 to do hardy siding, is the house going to be worth that much more 10 years from now? It all depends on who's going to buy it or what the end use is. If a developer comes in, he's like, I'm going to tear this down. I just want to buy the dirt. Well, then that was money. Other than you enjoying it, it was money you didn't need to spend. You know, if the house looks good, it's in good shape, you like it, and the ultimate goal is to, you know, I'm going to move out of here someday and I'm going to sell it. I'm going to use that money to take care of myself. You really just have to do a kind of a cost analysis and a return on your investment, you know, put a pencil to paper and make sure it makes the most sense for you. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. When we come back, we've got a pretty good noodaloo too for you coming up. As an aside, you know, we have our granddaughter this weekend, and so she had these two toys, and we are not Frozen people. You know, that was not our thing.
Yet.
And she had the little snowman with the corn nose, which we could not come up with his name.
Oh.
Mary Beth.
Oh,
goes,
I could in Mary my Beth sleep. Goes,
what's the name of the singer? I don't know. And I'm looking on the bottom. It just says so Vietnam. Funny. And and so I'm, and then maybe like an hour later, Olaf. And like, yeah. But I mean, it wasn't part of our life.
That's so. Right? I know. I think about
and
that.
She's, you know, not. She's 16 months, 17, or she's not watched. They're not the rare. They're not watching. She's not watching anything per se. Mm. So, you know, there's no, you know, Lion King incessantly like there was when we were had yeah. little kids.
Yet.
Anyway, yet. Right. Olaf. He's funny, right? Is he funny in the movie?
He's a, yes. He loves warm hugs.
Oh, sure. Right. He's a, right. Because he's a snowman. All right. Are you doing any painting? Are you a busy person? Actually, this for you, when you were like on your tear of doing all this kind of stuff at your house, this would have been perfect.
I would have used this for sure.
Oh my God, this would be perfect. Well, take a listen.
This weekend's Newtaloo 2 is kind of like Tupperware for your paint tray. If you've ever done any DIY painting around the house, you know what a pain it is if you don't finish and you need to put away the paint until you can come back to it. Whether later in the day, the next day, or the next week. Cleanup's a mess. Well, the company Repaint Studios, of course, a certified women-owned business, may have solved the problem with their Repaint Tray. The Repaint Tray is a premium, reusable paint tray system that pairs a durable metal base with a flexible silicone liner and an airtight lid, allowing DIYers to pause painting projects for up to 21 days without cleaning. When you're done for the day, just pop the lid on the tray and come back to it when you're ready. Then, when you're done with your painting project and the paint, let it dry right there in the tray, and when it's solid, it just easily peels off the silicone insert so you're ready to use it again for your next project. The Repaint Tray is compatible with water-based, latex-based, and acrylic-based paints, stains, primers, as well as wallpaper paste and wood glue. The retail price for the Repaint Tray is around $40, and while yes, it is a little bit more than, say, a cheap disposable tray from the hardware store, in the long run, it's going to save you time and money. And let's be honest, sometimes convenience is worth a few extra bucks.
For more information, check out the House Smarts YouTube channel.
And be sure to like and subscribe.
The fact, the silicone, so, okay, it's a metal paint tray. Then the liner, you know how you can buy disposable liners for paint trays? They're like clear plastic and you just throw them away. This silicone liner goes in there. Then you paint away. And then it has a lid that covers the top of it that's also silicone. So if you, like Lindsay said, you got to run to the grocery store or whatever, the paint's ready to go. But then here's what happens. Nobody remembers to clean out the paint tray. And when the paint dries, because it's silicone, it peels away like a face mask. Like if you did a, right? Like if you did a, you ever did?
Totally.
Have you ever done that?
Have I ever? Yeah, of course.
Like you go to bed and you're covered in goop?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Mary Beth's ever done that. I can't remember.
I will say I can't help but wake up in the middle of the night, and just because there's like a satisfaction that comes along with peeling it off my face.
Oh.
And so I'll like be right in the middle, and I'm like, oh, I just got to get this and one more.
What does
piece.
That do?
Oh, it pulls all the toxins out of your pores. It makes you glow. Mm. You get that dewy look. I mean, in my
well,
head,
this paint tray is nothing like that, but.
But it peels away just the same.
It does. And so when the paint dries. I mean, this was going through my head, right? I mean, and the lid is like Tupperware over the top. It like really seals it up. So you got to take the, well, you could leave the brush in there, but if it was a roller and a roller frame, then that won't fit.
I was thinking about that. Is annoying that you've got to clean the brush. They need to come up.
There are companies that have something similar to that, but the silicone is the game changer because, I mean, with the silicone tray liner, the paint's never going to stick. And it's just going to dry, and you're going to peel it away. You're right. It would be like one of those videos when you show, and people would just watch it. Like, that's so cool, you know, to see that thing peel away. Kind of like videos of pressure washing. People love to watch those because
for
it's
pimple
so
pimple popping.
No,
that's a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah.
I would not watch that. I'd watch the paint peeling, and I'd watch the deck washing. I would
pressure
not watch,
washing.
Not that. No. But it's good. Go to youtube.com/housemartstv, and you can see more information about the repaint tray. It's a well-put-together idea, and if you're doing a painting project, it'd be a great housewarming gift. Somebody buying a new house, you know, they're going to be doing some painting. This would be a good one. So check that out. 857-5574, Lou. 857-5574-568 is our phone number. This is Pete in Homer Glen. Good morning, Pete. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you today?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
I have some water spots, Lou, on some antique furniture, and I was wondering if you had a method or where I could go and what I could buy to get those off.
Yes. It's a product called Howard's Restore a Finish.
Howard's Restore a Finish. Where do I buy it?
At the hardware store.
Yeah, I mean, small mom and pop or big box?
It might be at a big box too, but if you went to like an Ace or Do It Best, they would have it. And then along with that, you need a small container, and you need quadruple zero steel wool.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. Pour that in a container, wring out the steel wool, you know, like absorb some of the solution in there, and then go with with the grain, and then use a clear cotton rag after that, and it'll take care of those watermarks.
That would be fantastic. Could you repeat that product one more time, sir?
Howard's Restore a Finish. Howard's Restore a Finish. And quadruple zero steel wool, and that will do the trick for sure. Thanks so much for the phone call. 857-5574-LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. We're live from the PermaSeal Concrete Lifting Studios, keeping patios, sidewalks, and pool decks safe this summer. We'll take a quick break. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, 857-5574-LOU, 857-557-4568. Let's go back to the MegaPros phone line. One mega call does it all. Here's Mark in Racine. Hi, Mark. How about Matt in Villa Park? Hi, Matt.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
I'm well. How can I help you?
I was calling because I'm looking into a new roof. And, you know, once you do that, you know, your phone gives you every new option that there is. And I was kind of curious about the metal roofs. And I know there's other options, too. What's the pros and cons to something other than asphalt and cost difference?
Well, I think that so the metal roof probably gives you one of the most architecturally distinctive roofs you could put on your home, right?
Yeah, what? I like the looks of it a lot, yeah.
Look is great. It's very pricey. So,
you see these ads that are saying it's not pricey. That's, I'm like, I'm going to call Lou.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there's, inexpensive, the good metal roofs. Trying to think of kind of where to give you an idea. So a square of, a decent architectural shingle is probably going to be somewhere in the range of $450 to $500 a square installed. Okay, a square is 10 by 10.
Okay.
And that metal roof will be $700 to
$1,000. Yeah.
So it's not quite
where,
not quite double, but what I've seen a lot of, although I'm not a fan, is people are re-roofing with metal. They're leaving the existing shingles on and they're going right over the top of it. I'm not a fan of it, but that could be a way that it gets a little cheaper. Matt, you're in Villa Park. Here's what I would do.
Yeah,
get a few bids. Please include Lindholm Roofing on your list. They're a sponsor, and I also work to promote them, but they've been around since like 1945, and they can install any one of those roofs, and they can give you estimates on, traditional asphalt shingle, a metal roof, there's faux slate roofs, all kinds of different stuff if you wanted to do something more architecturally pleasing. But that way you can decide what you want. I mean, the other thing with a metal roof, it's the roof of 100 years.
Yeah, that's what I've read.
Well, I mean, when you drive around, look at any old barn, and you'll see the barn is falling down, but the metal roof is still there.
Yeah, I mean, I recently used Lindholm for my mother-in-law's house, and they were just great. They were tremendous, so...
Give them a shot to bid. Yeah, give them a shot to bid on it, and you can go from there.
I appreciate your information, as always.
Yeah, I love the metal roofs. They're just they just cost a little more. 857-557-4LOU. This I think is Matt in Racine. Hi, Matt.
It's Mark.
Mark,
thanks for taking my call, Lou. I had a tenant live in one of my units for like 10 years, and he was a heavy smoker. And I need to clean the cabinets and the doors, and I don't want to ruin the finish. And what would be the best product to remove that nicotine?
Mm. It's a huge job.
I know.
So ZEP, Z-E-P, makes a smoke cleaner. And I believe they make it in, I believe they have it in aerosol, but I think they also sell it in gallon jugs. And it won't ruin the finish, but it will get rid of, the cabinets are wood, right?
Yeah, they're nice cherry cabinets.
I mean, you're going to clean those until the cows come home, and that wood has probably done a really good job of absorbing that smoke, over 10 years. The other issue is going to be, what are you going to do on the walls?
I've used a shellac primer, and I've primed all the walls. That has worked very well for eliminating the smell inside the unit. Of course, removed all the carpeting and everything else.
Right, right. And how is the place heated or cooled?
Electric baseboard.
Okay. All right. So there's probably some residue in those metal fins, there. And if you can spray that, I mean, the thing is, that is, if you take the covers off.
I'm going to replace them. I'm replacing them all.
Then that's good. And try this ZEP product and really allow it to soak in, and then use maybe a, not a stiff brush, but you need to work into the nooks and crannies if the door has a panel or anything, it's in the gaps, the smoke goes everywhere.
Yeah.
And so you really need to use a little, kind of a softer brush. Yeah, maybe a toothbrush would actually work pretty well. and kind of get in there, let it soak in, and then wipe it and rinse it. Don't be surprised if you have to do multiple passes on this. And then the other thing is that when you're done and you think it smells really good, have someone that hasn't been there come in and tell you.
Okay.
Because the problem is you get used to the smell, you know, and you're like, oh, I think it smells pretty good, you know. And then if you have, you know, in particular, you know, somebody that has a really good sense of smell, to just come in when the doors are closed and be like, wow, you know, if they say it's not there, then great. There's also this great odor neutralizer called Fresh Wave that does a really good job with smoke. Ironically, they have a candle. And it seems counterintuitive, but the candle is one of the best ways for it to deliver its odor neutralizing properties. And when you're there, if you lit a candle and let it kind of burn in the place, it will help to control the odors as well.
Okay. Yeah, I've been running an ozone machine in the unit too.
You know, one thing that would work too, we've talked about this, there's this Genesis HOCL that uses something called hydrochloric acid that would definitely be worth the investment for you. And they make one that's a fogger that you can hold and brush around, but then they also make one that's like a dehumidifier, and you mix this hydrochloric acid with water and you put it in the space. That will, after you do all that cleaning, that will probably be the kicker to really make a difference.
Okay. Okay. I had never heard of that before. Thank you very much for the information, Lou.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. We're here until 10 o'clock this morning. Nicely done, gentlemen. Jack Heinrich with the Noog.
I had to pull it out.
He stepped away. He pulled out the Noog. Really nicely done.
Ryan, it's like rapid fire with him, man. In that,
I mean,
sports
he was
cast.
Like, he was right. I mean, if you were getting paid by piecework, you'd be off for the rest of the day. You made all your money.
That's right. I figured I messed up your sports anchor wheel, so I had to make up for it.
Well, you didn't mess it up. It's just I never know who's on the wheel of meat. That's the thing, right? You just spin it, and
that's
there
right.
It is. It's like no, you know, I don't, you know. I don't know until Saturday morning. So
it's a fun little surprise. Keep you on your
toes.
It's
a fun, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know how, I don't do it anymore, but when I used to go buy donuts, you know, they were like, which ones do you want? I'm like, just mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a donut, right?
Exactly.
Why do I need to pick? Like, I want two crawlers and two dunkers or whatever it was. And so then you'd open it up and like, well, look at that. There's a Long John. Right?
I think the bigger question is, why don't you do that anymore as we all stare at each other? Come on,
right,
bring the donuts.
Right. You're right. Well, I just don't eat donuts. That's the thing. This brings me to my earlier question, and I think it was in the middle of the show. You guys might not have been sitting there, but I said to Lindsay, so we have our granddaughter this weekend, and so our son was away on a business trip, and then he came home late, and then he had a bowl of pretzels and a glass of milk. Now he's 32 years old, but that is like a childhood thing that he used to have, a bowl of pretzels and a glass of milk. And so I said to Lindsay, like, what, you know, is there any kind of food that you had or some taste that you had as a child that when you still have it now, you're like, oh, this is good. I know what mine is. You have one, Lindsay? No?
I mean, it's kind of boring maybe, but like white bread with peanut butter and jelly, Lay's potato chips, and a glass of milk. That's my comfort. Because my mom used to make it, like, it was my everyday lunch.
Do you guys remember peanut butter and jelly in general is just a good one.
I was sorry to interrupt there, but do you remember those cheese and crackers with the stick? You'd get the red stick. I used to have those in my lunch halls.
Yeah.
You'd peel it back, you'd pull out the cracker, and then you'd take that little red plastic stick and you'd spread it. And it would always break, and you know, the cracker would always
break.
But,
and you know, just so you know, that wasn't cheese.
No.
It was good, though.
Cheese-like product. But, yeah, I miss those because I don't even see them anymore out there. Are you supposed
to... Were those made by Nabisco or whatever?
And I'm trying to think, did you need to refrigerate that cheese? I don't know that they were refrigerated on the...
No, because think about it. Back then, you were going to school with your... Well, you're younger than that, but your $6 million man metal lunchbox... Right, and there was no refrigeration; just sat in the locker.
Yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Mine are, do you remember Salerno butter cookies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Round, and I can remember as a kid having a glass of milk. So kind of like my son with his pretzels and milk, I would have a glass of milk, and I would have a box. They had like a little box, and I would take the Salerno cookies, and I would take my finger, and I would dip it in the milk, but I had my finger in the center. It was like a donut. And then I would eat around the cookie, right, as a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how I would eat them.
Do you think
those are good?
Today
I probably haven't had a Salerno butter cookie in 40 years.
And do you think today you can get your finger in that hole? Think no. about how small. Because if I remember, that hole's kind of small now, right?
I was a little child, right. Yeah. Yeah. No way. But they were so delicious. Oh, a good butter cookie?
That's good.
And a glass of cold milk. It's another thing. I don't drink a lot of milk. I mean,
I don't either.
Like, I have cereal. I put half and half in my coffee. How do you take your coffee? Ryan, are you a coffee drinker?
No, tea guy.
Tea. Jackie, coffee?
I am not.
Well, Lindsay, just me and you.
Wow. I'm always very impressed with the people that don't drink coffee and work the show.
Right.
I don't understand.
Right. It is crazy. Do you do caffeinated tea, Ryan?
Oh yeah. Yes, it has to have caffeine.
Yeah.
Don't give me the flavors. Just give me the straight English breakfast.
Hey, and as an aside, aren't you our like resident follower of the new stadium at Northwestern?
You know, I haven't gotten an update on it lately other than people telling me that it's looking pretty good.
Well, we live near there, so I go by there all the time. But I just read that the student section students, no seats. It's like just standing only with a railing.
It's like that European stalker style stands, I think is what they called it. It's called the Wildcat Wall.
I'm unfamiliar with that. So the students, I guess they never sit down anyway, right?
Yeah, normally they're standing.
The whole time.
Yeah.
So they're just like, no seats, just a railing.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And so they call it the Wildcat Wall right behind the end zone. Just goes up.
Right. That's cool. I'm looking for, we've talked about this, Lindsay, we're going to do this remote Lou on the Lake coming up June 6th, but the very first game that they're going to play there is against Penn State on a Saturday. And, we should do the show from there.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
And interview all the workers that and the companies that did all the construction. Right?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Can we make that happen?
Sure.
Can you call somebody?
Yeah, I'm not.
Call Dave Ennett.
Are you going to do it from the student section, or do you want a seat?
I'd like to sit down.
Yes,
okay. It's 4 hours.
No way. We're going to do it.
Well, I did go do a broadcast once from outside of what was then Ryan Field. Outside, remember, with tables. I don't know whose idea this was. It was 6 a.m, and me and Joe Romano.
Oh, yeah.
and then I think we had an engineer. We were outside.
Yeah, I was there.
Were you there?
Yes.
Outside? We were freezing, remember?
There was like a barbecue something going on. Yes.
Right, but we were freezing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was dark. Like, we couldn't. I think you had a flashlight over my shoulder so I could read the copy. We're like, whose idea was this? And no one is there. It's 6 a.m. in Evanston, right? And by 10 o'clock, when the game came, it was great. But that was, maybe this would be a little different story. No,
yeah,
a little more high line,
a little warmer,
or warm. Well, yeah, we're definitely warmer for sure. 857-557-4LOU 857-557-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines and speak with, I don't even know what line I clicked, and I'm not sure. What line did I click? It's either Betty, Robert, or Terry. Go.
Robert?
Robert. Hi, Robert. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hey, big brother. Just wanted to make mention, I spoke to you earlier on this. I had an awning crank window. And the crank mechanism broke. I had a handyman. He was not able to address it. He tried to get the right parts. They look close, but no cigar, so to speak.
Okay.
So I called a company called Galron Sliding Glass Doors. I don't know if they did work. Okay, good. I just wonder if you ever heard of these guys.
Say the name of the company again.
Galron.
No,
sliding glass doors.
I have not heard of them. They're a sliding glass door installer or manufacturer. Who are they?
Well, I think installer, but they actually do repair work, and they came, and you know, it was worked out well. Lou, worked out well.
That's great. And do you know? I mean, I love a good referral like that. Do you know? Do you remember where they're located?
Somewhere in the Chicagoland region, not exactly.
Got it. But Galron is the name of the company.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I appreciate that information and that referral. That's good for our listeners. If they need some help, it's a nice third-party recommendation for you. That's a good one. All right. It's 8:20 in the morning. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Okay, so I've got more tickets to give away to our live Lou on the Lake broadcast, which is coming up on June 6th from 6 to 10 a.m. The tickets are free. They just want to know who's coming. I think we have a problem. They need to let more people in. I need to know how. I've been to the Pier 290. It's a big space. The other thing we haven't talked about, will there be Bloody Marys and mimosas?
There will if I'm there.
I mean, right? There's a bar, right?
I don't know if that's. I know that was discussed. I mean,
it's not for free. You got to buy it, of course.
I mean, a screwdriver? You need to have a screwdriver as you're listening to the
show. Hello, at the Mr. Right, at the Housemarts Radio thing. Screwdriver or a rusty nail.
Oh, I was going to say, or a rusty nail.
Rusty nail. Any other home improvement drinks that we could have there? Anyway, we need more people. We need more people to come because evidently we've already acquired half the tickets of what they've allowed, and they just went on sale minutes ago. So here's the thing. If you go to WGNradio.com/events, you need to sign up individually. So if you and Jimmy are going, you and Jimmy need to sign up because we need to know who's coming so we have enough space.
Individually.
Individually. Yes. So it can't be like, I'm coming, I'm bringing Jimmy. No, Jimmy's got to be in the list. So Jimmy's going to register, you're going to register, the tickets are free.
And very exclusive list.
Evidently, right? The seventh caller to 857-557-4568 will win a pair of tickets to our event, Lou on the Lake, sponsored. It's all sponsored by Visit Lake Geneva, and that'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a really lot of fun, so I hope you'll join us there as well. 857, there we go. 857-5574-LOU is the number. This is Terry on the Illinois Farmlands. Hi, Terry. You're on Housemarts Radio.
Hi. I have a question today. We had a recent loss on our roof due to hail, and we're debating whether we want to go with regular asphalt shingle or solar shingles. I don't know anything about solar shingles. I was hoping you did.
Yeah. I love the idea of solar. I really do. And but I don't know that I love the idea of a solar married with a shingle. And so what I think is a better in other words, if you're trying to garner some solar energy out of this thing, I would do solar panels on top of your roof. It's two separate things. And, The whole deal with these solar panels, I can never get anybody to give me a straight answer on this, but essentially what's happening is, you know, they'll be like, oh, we'll put the solar panels on your home for free because they're just using your roof to put the energy back into the grid and they're making money off the deal and you're making some money off the deal because you're running a lot of your electric and getting a huge discount off of the whole thing. And, you know, you don't tend to own the panels, they do, and if there's a problem with it, they come and replace it and fix it all, and you know, that's the way to go. The shingle part of it, what worries me is that They're individual solar photovoltaics that if they fail, how do you know they're failing and what's the overall efficiency of it? And then if they do fail, how does that all get replaced properly to tie it in and still keep your roof from leaking? You know what I mean? So my attitude about this is if we need a new roof, the first thing we start with is I want a roof that keeps me dry. Oh, I want solar panels. Okay. I want to do something with solar. And they married the two together. I'm still a proponent of separate panels for that job.
Okay. We had checked into it several years ago, and actually solar shingles weren't that much more than the regular ones.
Right, right.
And it was my understanding, like you said, that they come in strips and they nail them down just like they would a regular roof.
Right.
But I thought they said that, you know, they were like a regular shingle and didn't leak. Evidently, that's not the case.
No, it's and I don't want to misrepresent what I'm saying, I want you to understand. It's not that they don't leak. It's just two things together. It's dissimilar products put together in one that I have a problem with. Because one can fail and one cannot. And I think that now if you checked into those solar shingles, you may find that the price has changed a little bit.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So
well, I mean, appreciate the information. Yeah,
I appreciate your calling this morning. Thank you very much. Hey, congratulations to Pam and John Nelson on winning the set of tickets to come join us, Lou on the Lake, Pier 290. We need more people to be allowed in. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. So as the weather, you know, gets better, it's been a while since we've seen consistent temperatures, but it's getting there. I know a lot of you are planting flowers and you're getting your gardens ready. But have you considered doing something that's maybe a little bit more robust, like planting trees? And if you're going to do that, there's a little bit to know about maybe what's the best tree that gives you the best chances of success and also, you know, how it's going to look and how it's going to perform in our area. So I wanted to talk with someone that could help us with that. Joining me on the phone line from the Morton Arboretum is Sharon Yeisley, who is the Arboretum's Plant Knowledge Specialist. Sharon, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
I mean, there's a ton of different kinds of trees, right? I mean, there's the ash tree, there's the basswood tree, there's a birch, there's a locust tree, a London plane. I mean, Are most of the trees that we have here in the Midwest, are they, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, were they from here or did we bring them here?
You know, it's really some of both. I mean, we do have a wide diversity of trees available to us, and many of them are native, and that has value because they can, you know, really often tolerate our climate best, and they are often serving animals and birds, you know, for food sources.
Right.
But we also have a lot of introduced trees that we've brought from other countries that are also really good choices and are very tolerant of our climate and will, you know, do really well for us. So, you know, we have a lot of choices, actually.
I mean, the climate here is pretty unique, right? Because we can have, I mean, it's really kind of unique to the country. I mean, I'm thinking about other parts of the country. I've had the chance to travel around our big country, and man, we go from 100 degrees to, you know, 50 below, and these trees really have to be in tune with that climate.
Yes, and you know, Chicago area has always been that way, where we, you know, say you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes, it'll change, and now it seems like we only have to wait 5 minutes for it to change.
Right.
You know, because there are, you know, we're having a lot of up and downs, and, you know, a lot of the trees will be able to tolerate that. I mean, we've seen just 2 weeks ago a hard freeze on May 2nd, and we've seen some leaf damage, you know, to different things, but we know those trees aren't going to die. They've just lost some leaves. And so they are trees that are adapted here, and they just kind of came out a little early because our temperatures were very up and down, and the trees got a little bit confused.
Right. I think, too, when people are thinking about planting trees, you know, one of the biggest things, I suppose, is when if you're going to a nursery or maybe you're even hiring a landscaper or a arbor company to come plant a tree, you know, it's going to be small. You know, we look at some of these I mean, if we go to the Morton Arboretum, you see these trees that many of them are 60, 70, over 100 years old, and they're big and they're beautiful, and it just takes time. If people are considering planting trees, do you have perhaps a list of some they should consider?
Yes, I mean, we have a lot of information regarding that, and we answer that question all the time. You know, and so we're talking to people, but we're also directing them to our website because we have a lot of information. You know, every tree that we have on our website has a full page of information. And so after we've had a conversation with someone, they can go to the website and see pictures. They can see a little bit more information.
Right.
And there's even a place on our website where it's kind of it's a search trees and plants function. And it's kind of like shopping online. Only you don't have to spend any money, but just, you know, say, hey, today I want to look at trees. And then you can say, I want a big tree. I want a tree that has fall color. You know, you can put in some parameters and you get a list of trees that might fit your needs. So we have a couple of different ways, you know, to help people, you know, find the right tree for their yard, because I heard you talking about, you know, what's the best tree, but the best tree could be very different
right.
from one neighborhood to another, and even one house to another.
Right. And it's true, too, right, that, Sharon, that some municipalities have some restrictions on certain types of trees, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes the villages and cities will have a list that they, you know, require you pick from. And sometimes they will say, we have too many of this kind of tree, we're not going to plant anymore. So, you know, it may not be a bad tree, but it may just be that the city or village has too many of them. And we're always trying to diversify so we don't have another emerald ash borer situation
yeah.
or Dutch elm disease situation where we lose a lot of the same tree.
Right.
So they're trying to protect that diversity in the city streets.
You know, I think recently I read that it might be the city of Chicago that is not allowing Bradford pear trees anymore. And, you know, 30 years ago, I have a very good friend of mine who's a landscape contractor. That was like his go-to, you know, non-fruit-bearing mm-hmm. tree. It looks beautiful in the spring, but it was susceptible to branches falling off of it, which I think is why, you know, there's been sort of like, maybe we shouldn't plant this anymore.
Well, you know, and there's been changes in that tree because, you know, Bradford is one variety in a species of trees that we often just call ornamental pears,
right?
An easy word, and they came up with new varieties that were stronger wood, so they didn't break so much. But now we're finding across many states that tree is actually becoming an invasive tree because, like you mentioned, it was the go-to back in the day. It didn't produce any fruit, no
right.
problem,
right?
And it figured out how to cross-pollinate with the edible pears, and now the ornamental pears are making lots and lots of little round pears, and the birds and animals love that, and they spread them around, and now we're finding them out in our forest preserves, in our natural areas.
I see.
And so that is probably more likely, if the city of Chicago is stopping using them, it's more likely from that potential invasive situation rather than the breakage of the branches. And there are some states that have legislated against selling that tree anymore.
Right, right. Well, I guess, you know, your point about me asking the question, like, what's the best tree's wood? The best tree is whatever anybody wants. But are there some that are, I don't want to say foolproof, but my brother-in-law, Matt, loves the burl oak tree. And he's always like, man, I love that tree. And I go, all right, why do you like that tree? Because he goes, it's just solid, but it's a slow-growing tree. But once it, you know, establishes itself, it's quite beautiful. Are there some species that are, you know, a little, I don't want to say foolproof, but maybe a little bit easier to put in there and get success with it?
Yeah, and it's, you know, again, it depends on your location because we're all dealing with different locations. Some people want a parkway tree. Some people are looking for their backyard. That's two different environments. Even if it's on one end of your yard or the other, you know, the street is a tough place to live.
Yeah.
And the backyard's a little better. So, you know, I might say for a person who wants a tree for their backyard, the native sugar maple would be fantastic. It would love the backyard. It would give you a great fall color. It's got a good shape. But it doesn't really enjoy being out in the parkway.
Hmm.
So I'm always asking people, where are you going to put that tree? Because we want one that functions there. So maybe this would do better in the parkway. Maybe, you know, maybe a red oak would do better
right.
Out in the parkway because it will tolerate those kind of conditions. So we're always, you know, kind of talking to people about what's your situation, where are you putting it, you know, do you have overly wet sites? Then we have to look for trees that can tolerate that because everyone's yard is is a little different. Sometimes your next door neighbor's yard is completely different from yours.
And right.
What works in his yard might not work in yours.
And the soil obviously has a lot to do with the success of anything that you plant, in particular when it comes to trees.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we always want to look at, you know, especially how does the soil drain? You know, we talk to people sometimes that they just have an area in the yard, it's wet all the time. It just, even in the summer, it just never seems to drain. And then you're going to need a special tree for that area.
Right.
Something that can tolerate standing in that water or having too much water at different times.
Yeah, yeah. The birch trees sure love the wet soil, although they don't want to be wet all the time, but they do enjoy getting a nice source of water,
right?
It's like this weird...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's this weird blend. And as you mentioned, if you go to the Morton Arboretum's website, there's literally a cornucopia of information on different types of trees, but that location is really important.
It is. And I mean, and sometimes when people have that area that's wet all the time, we might even talk about bald cypress because it's a swamp tree in its native habitat.
Hmm.
So if you've got a really wet spot, it's going to be at home. As long as you got room for it, because it's a big tree.
Right.
So we're always looking at that. You know, what's your soil like? How big an area do you have? And even, you know, what do you want it to look like? You know, some people just really want to have fall color, and somebody else might prefer spring flowers. So we're trying to figure out what they need and try to find a tree that matches that.
Yeah, love that. Really good information. Sharon Yeisley is the Morton Arboretum's plant knowledge specialist. Give me that website for listeners if they'd like to go and learn more about choosing the right tree for their home and their area.
Sure. Our website is mortonarb.org. So mortonarb.org.
Sharon Yeisley with the Morton Arboretum, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. The phone number is 857-557-4568, 857-557-4LOU. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. I love you listeners, and I always wanted to be the very best. And so, you know, here's Lindsay and I have worked together a long time. The one first thing you never want to do is tell me I can't say something, right? Because then I'll say it. And then if you put restrictions on me, I'd be like, well, why? Can't we make that better or whatever? But, I mean, I realize there's limitations. But what they are going to do when you sign up, if you go to WGMRadio.com/events for our Lou on the Lake broadcast, they're going to have some coffee and some pastries early on, but you can stay for breakfast later after 10. You know, they have a lovely restaurant there, and the food is really great. Did you pull up the menu for me?
I did.
And tell me, like, some of the things you could order at Pier 290 for breakfast.
Well, Lou, let me start with the house-made corned beef hash, braised corned beef.
Wait,
diced
stop right
potato.
There.
Okay.
Homemade corned beef hash is the best. Oh, my gosh. It's so good. Okay, keep going.
Here's what I'm going to get. The smoked salmon, eggs Benedict, poached eggs, and smoked salmon served over crispy potato pancakes with arugula and 290 hollandaise sauce.
Would you get it on the side?
The sauce?
Yeah.
Mary Beth, probably.
She loves a good...
Probably.
Yeah, always gets it on the side. That sounds delicious.
We've also got French toast, quiche Lorraine, avocado toast, garden vegetable quiche, Belgian waffles, steak and eggs Benedict.
Good right? Stuff. That's good stuff. You can stay for breakfast. Go to WGMRadio.com/events. Sign up. Tickets are free. We just need to know you're coming. And if you're coming, you both have to register. Like if it's two of you, each one of you has to register because they're capping it at 85. But I think if you come, we'll find spots for you.
Totally.
Sorry, Christina.
Can't turn them away.
No, we can't.
It's a big place.
And we don't get to do this a lot. And I want to say, I want to everybody to have a good time. And I'm going to, if you
it's
come,
a reunion.
I have these really cute House Smarts radio pins that I made a while ago. And I'm going to bring those. So anybody that comes is going to get one. I found a huge bag of them. And they're really nice. You can put them on your hat. You can put them on like a brooch. 857-557-4LOU. This is Barb in Evergreen Park. Hi, Barb.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
All right, I'm hoping you can help me with this problem we have.
Okay.
We have this really loud gurgling noise coming from our kitchen sink drain. It started when we had this. It was coming when we had the washing machine rinsing out. We had someone come out. They found out we had a broken sewer pipe under our driveway. Fixed that, took tree roots out, but that did not resolve. Then the problem was just like when we drained the kitchen sink or when we ran the dishwasher on rinse. And so we had the sink rotted out, and that didn't solve the problem. So we had someone out this week, and he put some kind of valve on the pipes and changed it from an S-pipe to a P-trap under the sink. And so that would solve the problem, and we still have this sound. And we don't know. It's a really loud gurgling noise, like if we fill the sink and then do dishes and then drain it, or when the dishwasher is rinsing, part of the time it will make that sound. So we're just kind of like running out of options here.
Hmm. Have any of the plumbers talked to you about a venting issue?
We have mentioned that to a couple of them because we understood that could be a problem. But this last one that was out, it seems like it's hard to find a plumber who actually will do that. We have a second story to come out and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we mentioned that to him, and he's like, no, your sink is draining fine. That's not what the problem is. So then, you know, he did this other thing with the valve and changing the pipe out.
Mm-hmm.
So...
There's no grease trap or anything, right? And you said they rotted out the sink recently.
Yes. And when they rotted it out, the person that came said, your sink seems to be draining fine, but okay, we'll rot it out. Maybe that's what it is.
And then when they did all that, they could not get it to mimic what it's doing, right? They're like, all right, lady, it's great. That'll be $400.
Yeah, that's kind of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because this the last person that did put the valve on and changed out the pipe, said it was fine. Well, I guess he did the sink, but my husband was around when he did it. My husband thought, yeah, it sounded better. Well, it doesn't sound any better.
There is a sponsor on our radio station, specifically with John Williams Middays, a company called Norman Mechanical. And they're actually based in Elgin, but they may come to Evergreen Park. I don't know that for a fact, but they're very good. I've known this company for a long time, long before they were advertisers. I would start with them, Norman Mechanical. And if they can't do anything, there's an organization called plumbers911.com, who Norman Mechanical is part of as well, but I would go to them specifically. And then talk to them about this problem and tell them we spoke and we think it's a venting issue, and they'll figure this out.
Okay, so there will be somebody somewhere in our area that can do this, Dennis Norman.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Good luck. Right. I appreciate you calling this morning. 8:58 in the morning. When we come back after the news, I've got a really good story about the Blackhawks. It concerns the last time that the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. Just to give you something fun to think about, maybe you didn't know, or maybe you did know and you wanted to share that with. If you have a story that you think might be interesting, you can email us to story@wgnradio.com. We had a listener send us this story. I mentioned this earlier, Ryan and Jack. One Mike Emmerich, affectionately known as Doc Emmerich, the legendary voice of the NHL, who is a regular listener to House Smarts Radio and WGN Radio. He and his lovely wife live in Michigan, and we will occasionally get texts and emails. He has become a friend, which is great, and even has had a nice relationship with our son Quinn, who did a sports podcast for a while called Deep Dish Sports Talk, and was gracious enough to be interviewed by he and one of his cohorts back when he was broadcasting. So he's just a lovely, lovely person. Hawks fans, you may or may not know this story. Jack, I don't know if you know this story. Ryan, you may not know this story. And Doc Emmerich sent this to me to share with all of you this morning. So I'd like to do that now. You know, Hawks fans, any listener who was at the United Center on June 15th when the Blackhawks last won the Stanley Cup probably got drenched before they got home. Now, personally, I remember that game because Quinn and I, our son, we were at that game when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, and the place was absolutely electric. But there was almost no Stanley Cup for the celebration. 77 years earlier, in 1938, the last time it had been won in front of a Chicago fan was at the Chicago Stadium over the Toronto Maple Leafs. But that night, there was no Stanley Cup. Then NHL President Frank Calder thought so little of the underdog Blackhawks that he left the Stanley Cup back in Toronto, anticipating another game. The trophy was sent to the Blackhawks team later. So after winning the cup in Detroit, Philadelphia, and Boston, the Blackhawks had a chance in Game 6 against the Tampa Bay Lightning to win it at home. And when Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane scored, it was looking pretty good. And goalie Corey Crawford was on his way to a shutout. Now, this story is not about the game, but rather what happened after it was over. Outside, there was lightning and thunder and tornadoes touching down and flooding.
Oh, yeah.
At the time. Remember?
Oh, yeah. I remember the sirens going to the game.
You do?
Yeah. There were uh-huh. sirens going off in downtown Chicago. It's not something you hear very often.
Right. That's right. And so at that time, the tradition was for the Hockey Hall of Fame Keepers of the Cup to drive it from their hotel to the arena and arrive during the game. And though they left from their hotel near O'Hare in what they thought was enough time, it was a night when major expressways were closed and they were forced onto side streets, some of which were flooded and others were governed by malfunctioning stoplights. Now, this is from Doc. In our NBC booth, I was advised by our producer, Sam Flood, interesting name considering what we're speaking about, that the NHL asked us not to mention it, that the cup hadn't arrived. With 2 minutes left, Sam told us to go ahead and break the embargo. So our viewers knew when the horn sounded and the handshakes took place that the cup was still out there somewhere. Now, my son and I, at the game, you know, we're celebrating, it was great. But I do remember this taking a really long time. For what seemed like the longest time, the Blackhawks stood on the ice celebrating, but then came that typical lull when you expect the cup to be paraded out on the carpet. Finally, after at least 10 minutes, a vehicle arrived with the Stanley Cup and the Conn Smythe Trophy. Hastily, the cup keepers got the trophies down the hallway and onto the ice. Duncan Keith won MVP, and Jonathan Toews was handed the Stanley Cup. Now, Commissioner Gary Bettman recently confirmed that from that night on in 2015 into now, the Stanley Cup must be in the building at game time.
It's a good rule change.
So I don't know if that's going to happen next year, that they'll bring the Stanley Cup back to the United Center, but got to be there when the game starts. On time.
I can't imagine a better use of resources than a police escort for the Stanley Cup, right? Right.
How about it?
Where are the boys in blue? Come on, get that thing to the UC.
Well, I'm sure that they, with the storm, they probably just said, all right, let's get in the car. I mean, you think when they bring that, do they must rent a minivan? Right, because it's the Stanley Cup. You're not putting that in the back of like Uber a Buick Envision.
Yeah, Uber it over.
Put in a Waymo.
Right. That's great, Doc Emmerich. Thank you so story. Much. How kind. That's Isn't that a great story?
Boy, that night was wild, though, wasn't it? I mean, just the weather was wild. The game was fantastic. I remember that.
We were at the game, so we were unaware of the weather at the game.
Yeah, you got to be locked in.
Well, I mean, there's all the sound, and, right. You know, it was overtaking the, I think we knew it was raining because when we went, I think it had started, but that severe weather from inside the stadium was, you just didn't notice it. And that's a great story.
Oh, yeah.
Got a great story? Send it to me, story@WGNradio.com. Glad to share it with. My thanks to Mike Emmerich for sending that along. Very kind of you. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. This is Susan in Glenview. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So we have a hardy board trim around our garage door. It's about 18 years old, the installation. Okay, so there's brick, then there's the hardy board, then there is like a 1-inch trim piece, and then there's like a heavy wooden garage door. Okay,
okay.
The hardy board is now chipping and bubbling, and I notice there's like a gap between the hardy board and the garage door, you know, on one side, and the other side is chipping a little bit, but I don't see any gap. I had a handyman who's really good, Alvin. He said he didn't want to touch it because he said he would have to take that whole stripping off around the garage door, and it was a huge job. And, you know, it's brown, the hardy board, but you can see all the white, you know, through it now.
Right, right.
And we don't know where to go with this.
Okay. The issue with Hardy's an awesome product, but over the years, they've kind of changed how they do a lot of stuff with the outside corners and the trim pieces, and they're actually using PVC trim as opposed to the Hardy trim because it does, over time, what you're experiencing is what happens. And so what you need is somebody to come and take all that trim off, replace it with something called AZEK. AZEK, A-Z-E-K.
Yeah.
And they'll re-caulk it, they'll repaint it, it'll all look great, and it's not going to bubble, it's not going to crack, and it'll look fine. So I get, you know, the exasperation of the whole thing, but anything else you do, it's just going to be a temporary fix, and it's just not going to look right. Now, Mega Pros would do a job like this for you, and they'd probably make pretty quick work of it, come out, take a look at it. Remove all that trim, have everything on hand, cut it all, get it done. You know, they may not get it painted the first day, but may have to come back a second day to do that. But that's what I would do to do it the right way.
Because it's a huge job. The other thing, and I looked and I you know, researched
it's
it,
not,
and
it's
it also
not.
Said that Hardy, you know, that Hardy board should not be applied where it touches, I mean, it touches the pavers, and that it wicks up the moisture. So I don't know if it was just a problem, you know, originally, you know, the installation was wrong in the first place.
Right, but when did you do this? When was this done?
It was 18 years ago.
Yeah. They didn't have those guidelines.
The house was built.
They didn't have those guidelines 18 years ago. What happened with Hardy 18 years ago was they let anybody and their brother install it. They're like, hey, we got this great product. Everybody go do it. Well, there was no training. And then everybody's like, well, geez, if it's good for the walls, it's good for the trim, let's do that, blah, 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 blah. And then we learned over the past 18 years that it can't touch water. It can't touch moisture. It's not a good choice for outside corners or places in a garage where it can get banged up. You need something else more durable. But they didn't know that 18 years ago. So you're just a victim of a newer product that was a little bit of the Wild West, and now it's much more controlled. This is not that big of a job. I know you think it is, but like somebody like a Mega Pros can come and knock this out pretty quick.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, because my husband thought it was his fault that he had like hit it with the snowblower or something. And I
Let's just go with that and make it his fault. Let's just say, you know.
Okay.
Make him pay for it.
Well, he will. So that's okay. But okay. Okay. All right. Thanks for your help.
Have a great day. Yep. Appreciate you calling this morning. Can we get one more in here? I think we can. This is John in Lombard. Hey, John.
Yes, I have a question. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We have a refrigerator that had to be repaired. And when they went to do the shutoff for the water line, they couldn't, the shutoff valve was broken. So they had to turn off the water in the entire house. So we know we need that valve replaced. It's a box that fits between the studs and the wall.
Yep.
When they came to look at doing, repairing that, they said they would have to go to the crawl space to repair it. And I'm confused about why they wouldn't be able to repair it just from the wall.
Well, there's a box there. What's the age of your house, John?
92. It was built in 92.
So it's all copper piping?
Yes.
I mean, they may, and how high is the, if I take the refrigerator out where that box is, how high is it from the ground?
2 feet.
Okay. They don't need, if they're going to turn the water off, they can, they may have to open up the wall to access the copper.
Well, the wall is moldy, so I'm sure they will.
All right. Well, then I would just open up that wall. That way they expose the copper pipe right there. They can make the connection, put a new valve on, and don't have to go to the crawl space. Now, maybe they didn't want to, maybe the reason they wanted to go to the crawl is they didn't want to mess with the drywall. But if it's all moldy and it has to come out anyway, then that's what you're going to do.
Just take it out myself.
Take it out yourself. Expose the copper pipe right there. Okay. And, you know, why don't you do this? If you're going to do all that, take a few pictures and then contact Center Guard Plumbing and send them the pictures.
Okay.
They can quote you the to redo this off the pictures you send.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Good luck. I appreciate you calling this morning. I'm sure it's just that the plumber's like, I don't want to mess with the drywall. I just want to do the piping. But yeah, going down to the crawl is a mess and adds more to the cost. I don't really think you need to do that. Appreciate the phone call.
LOL.
Yeah, I'm not. I just don't do that. I just, I'm a full sentence texter.
I'm not. But
yeah,
I don't
you'll
use
send
LOL.
Me stuff sometimes, and I'll want to call you on it. And you're like, you know,
but you don't.
You'll be like DK. I'm like, all right, whatever.
What is DK? I've never said DK.
Don't know.
I have never said that.
Okay, you've said something.
But
with
I do
letters.
Say. I do say you are instead of spelling
right.
out. Taking
you
the time
you
to
are.
Spell Y-O-U-R. That's just a waste of time. So you're...
Well, you're not like launching a rocket.
Well, I'm very busy. I do hate it when... I don't like it when people respond. My dad does this sometimes. And I know he's just... He doesn't mean anything by it, but I'll say blah, 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 blah. And he'll say K.
Yeah, I don't like K.
Ugh.
Don't like K. Don't like you are... I don't say anything. DK. Or TK. I get people to say TK.
Oh. Thank you. Oh, it really drives me crazy when people say HBD. If you're going to wish me a happy birthday, take the time to spell it out.
Right. Right. Or send me like a funny emoji.
Like totally.
Betty White dancing, aging is living, right? That's the one I always send to everybody because it's great. How about some text messages?
Okay. How about it?
With no abbreviation.
My driveway is asphalt, and where it meets the apron of my garage floor, there's a 1.5-inch gap between the asphalt and the concrete. Weeds tend to grow down in there, leaves collect in the fall, etc. I'm constantly cleaning it out. Should I fill it in with something like limestone or pea gravel?
Yeah, I would dig out as much as you can. I would treat it with a weed killer, you know, really well. And then I would put crushed limestone. You can buy it by the bag. And then get a like a 2x4 that's 1.5 inches wide. And as you put down layer after layer, tamp it down and until you get to the very top. And tamp it. And that should stay in place. And you may have to treat it with a weed killer over the top of the gravel twice a year. But that should do a nice job and bridge that gap. And then with the stone, you know, it allows for movement of the concrete and or the asphalt differently. And you may occasionally have to tamp it down, but it'll look good and easy to do.
Thanks, Lou. TK. Lou, I have a 30-year-old condo in Rockford. The kitchen cabinets are pressed board with that foil wrap. I'd like to change them. Can I paint the pressed board, or do I need to refoil or replace them completely?
I mean, you can repaint their thermal foil. The paint doesn't hold up really well. If you're going to do that, you need to put a if the wrap foil is in decent shape, you need to clean it really well, use a bonding primer, and then paint over the top of it with whatever color you want. If that doesn't sound like it's great, but you like the layout of your cabinets in your kitchen, then think about contacting the guys at Redo Cabinets. They put on new thermal foil cabinet fronts, and you can get different styles. The colors are integrated into the foil, and it looks really nice. So there's some options for you there. How about one more?
One more. Lou, I'm trying to replace the carpeting in my den with vinyl planks. My home was built in 1964, and the flooring contractor is worried the tiles below may contain asbestos. I'm concerned this may turn into tens of thousands of dollars. Can you advise?
Well, there's a good chance that there's asbestos there. The biggest issue is if you encapsulate a floor, meaning that you cover it, and this is true, this is a recommended, approved method when it comes to asbestos. If you encapsulate it, you take the risk away from asbestos. So you could go with a luxury vinyl floor or some type of flooring over the top of that. Now, here's the risk. If those tiles start to come up, you may hear some separation underneath that floor. But if you're willing to take that chance, it's not a guarantee, but it could happen. Encapsulating it with new floors minimizes and or eliminates the risk of the asbestos, and then you get a nice new floor that looks great. So I would consider that. That's our Just Text Me segment. Our phone number is 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. Are you ready for me to take that, or would you like me to take a break? Oh, I'd like to. All right, I'll do that. Let's go back to the phone lines and speak with Mark in Monticello. Hey, Mark, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I have the directions that you've given about redoing my deck. I just need to understand, should I sand it first and then wash it, or wash it and then sand it? I'm going to use a Pinofin, the cleaner, and
right,
everything that you recommend.
What is the condition of the, like, what does the deck look like now?
It's treated. It is been 4 or 5 years, so it's great. It's in good shape.
Okay. What I would probably do is wash it first, and then come back and sand it, and then you're just going to rinse it after that. You know what I mean? Because the pressure washing can do a good job of, you know, getting, well, that's my method. I guess you could go the other way. If there's nothing peeling, correct?
No, it's natural.
Okay. So then go ahead and sand it first. The biggest thing with the sanding is those flat pieces that are looking up at the sky, the decking itself. That's where you got to open up the pores. It's true of the any vertical stuff on the rails too, but if you open up the fibers of the wood and you put that Pinofin in there, it's going to absorb really well, and it's going to give you years more of performance than if you don't sand.
Okay, so I will sand first and then wash it really well and then
let it dry.
Okay, great. And mine, as you did, Archway cookies, raspberry, with a tall glass of milk, eating around the edges, and watching WGN with the Cubs.
Oh, that's heaven right there, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Archway cookies. I haven't thought about Archway cookies with the raspberry. Oh, I love a good raspberry jam. 857-557-4LOU. We're live from the PermaSeal Concrete Lifting Studios, keeping patios, sidewalks, and pool decks safe this summer. We'll take a quick break and be right back. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. This is Dave in Hanover Park. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you?
How come there's no houses in the Chicago area with metal roofs? I re-roofed my house in Hanover twice. I don't want to do it ever again.
There's actually plenty of houses in the Chicago area that have metal roofs. We had a call earlier this morning basically asking the same thing that you're asking. I think the biggest issue, Dave, is that it costs more. It's a lot more. And
a lot means...
Go ahead.
10,000 more, 5,000 more. Everything is a lot these days.
Well, so I gave the example this morning. Right now, you know, and mind you, with the current situation, could be even higher because, you know, the asphalt shingles are petroleum based. But you're probably talking around $500 a square to do a traditional architectural single, right? That's 10 by 10. and a metal standing seam roof is probably more like 700 to 1,000 per square.
Right, right.
Now, to your point, is I never want to do it again. That's a 100-year roof.
Well, I'll be 75 in 30 days, so I think I'm covered.
Well, then I would look into it. I think that, you know, personally, I love the look of an architectural standing seam metal roof. I think that it changes the look of a home to a positive. There's definitely a sound to it when it rains, which I think is quite charming. And I also think that it's an added value proposition someday when you go to sell the house.
I got you. All right. It costs. Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it.
You got it. Appreciate you calling us, Maureen. Keep working. 857-5574-LOU. This is Kathy in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Kathy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. I left an extension cord in my backyard in the rain for about 3 weeks. Will it electrocute me if I use it?
No. Was it plugged in or just laying there?
Just laying there.
No, just let it dry out. I mean, it's an exterior, like an orange cord, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I would just check the terminals on it, you know, which are typically...
What's the terminal?
The male end that you plug in.
Yes.
Make sure that those contacts, the ground and the neutral and the neutral and the hot side, are clean. You know, there's no corrosion on it.
Okay.
And on the receptacle side where you plug things into... Do you happen to have any like lightweight oil, like a WD-40 or something like that sitting around?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do.
Take a little bit of that, squirt it in that on the receptacle side, and then take the other plug side and plug them in and kind of articulate them in and out a couple times to clean out the terminals, dry out any residue, and you should be good to go.
All right. Thanks, Lou.
You're welcome. I appreciate you calling this morning. Yeah, I get it. That's a safety issue that you maybe want to pay attention to and make sure that you're not. The biggest thing with cords is that when they get nicked, you know, under the world of OSHA and like commercial applications for contractors, when they use electrical cords, if they nick it or gets caught, that cord is no good. You can't use it anymore. Can it be repaired? Sure. But that's really the risk that you take when you're using a cord. But leaving it outside, exterior cord, you should be good to go. 857-5574-LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. I think we may have time for just one more call before we let you guys go and move on to Home Sweet Home Chicago. This is John in Park Ridge. Hey, John, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. All right, I've got a situation with my deck. I've got it needs to be restained. My wife doesn't want me to power wash anymore. She says, "Oh, it opens up the grains too much," and so we needed to get a good cleaning on it and restaining with that semi-transparent. She doesn't want to use that heavy one, the painted one, look one. She doesn't like the way that looks.
Okay,
what can I do with that?
Are you going to do this or? You're going to hire somebody.
I might do it. Depends what I have to do.
Okay, but when you said she wants the semi-transparent, did you paint it with something else first?
No, we use that, the yellow can I bought at Menards.
Cabot?
Cabot.
Okay, so you already used a semi-transparent.
Before, yes.
Okay, what is your lovely wife's name?
Felicia.
Felicia. We need to pressure wash the deck so we can clean it. And then...
See, I tell her that.
Right,
she
well...
Believe me.
Right, well, send her the tape. Then we need to lightly sand the horizontal parts of the decking to open up the grain of the wood before you put the semi-transparent down.
Okay.
And then... You can use that Cabot product again if you'd like. I also really like this product out of California called Penifin, which is a rosewood oil-based product, which is very good. And, you know, if you don't do it in direct sunlight, you know, and you apply it and let it, give it a, you know, longer time to cure, you'll get years of performance. If you don't want to do it, if you're like, I'm just done with this, then I would call Deck Tech, and they'll do all the work for you.
Deck Tech.
And they'll clean it. They'll do a minor repair. They'll do the sanding. They apply a really high quality oil-based preservative on there, and they do a really nice job.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll go that route. I'm getting old.
Well, they can help you do that. It's not, they're not going to help you get. They're not going to make you any younger, but they're going to do all the work for you, which will be a good thing for you. John, thanks so much for the phone call. That's our last call, sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you need to make.